שמשה רבנו תאו והקדוש ברוך הוא אמון פוינט, למה הראות על העם הזה? למה זה שלחת אני? He tells God, you know, you're only doing bad to the people. Since I came on the scene, it only has gotten worse. למה זה שלחת אני? ומאז באתי אל פרעה לדבר בשמך, since the time that I came to פרעה to speak in your name, הרע לעם הזה, והצל לא הצלת את עמך. Two things. הרע לעם הזה, you did bad, and you didn't save them. Obviously, if you did bad, you didn't save them. So Moshe Rabbeinu says it twice. ויום הרשם אל משה, אתה תראה אשר יעשה לפרעה, now you're going to see what I do to פרעה. And she says, you're going to see what I do to פרעה, but not to the seven nations that I'm going to oust from Israel, because you're not going to Israel. So like at that point he was punished. You'll see this, but you're not going to see the other salvation. לכן, go tell the Jewish people, אמור לבני ישראל, אני השם, ועוצתי אתכם, וסתתי אתכם, וגאלתי אתכם, you have the four לשונות. And then, of course, we have the four cups of wine, you know. אז אני תאזם וידעתם כי אני השם. So he says that in the time of the Mashiach, when Mashiach comes, the birth pains, the end, Gemara talks about it a lot in Sanhedrin, what's going to be at that moment over there. So one of the great rabbis, he said, let him come, but I don't want to be there. He said, let him help, he shows up, but I don't want to see it. And the day was very scary time at the end. So he said, you know, let him come. Yite velo ahimena. Rav Yosef, he said, yite. Let him come. Vezked de'etim betula de'chufita de'chamra. Let him come. And it would be my honor to sit in the shade of the excrement of the donkey of Mashiach. Which means, as long as I see it, I don't care where I sit. They were scared about the Hamdei Mashiach, these rabbis. Ad Kedekach, they didn't want to be there to see it. Which means basically they said, let them come the next generation. They're pushing it off. Because if you're safe for some reason, he said, man, I'll sit in the donkey's manure in order just to be there. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know what HaKetuvot says? He made the Jewish people three swears, three promises. Number one, Shelo Yidhaku Et HaKetz. The Jewish people shouldn't pressure God about Mashiach. Mashiach says, Shelo Yidhbu B'tachanonim Al Kach Yoter Midai. They shouldn't press the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Mashiach too much. Don't bother me with that. I don't know, every tefillah is Mashiach. That's what we're doing. Every time... Well, that's what I mean, maybe. And what's the Shi'ud? Every speech the rabbi says, that Hashem, the Mashiach will come. That's all right, that's not excessive. Nobody's up anyway at that time. By the time the rabbi finished the speech, nobody hears what he said. Well, they get up for that part usually. When they hear Mashiach, they get up. They don't want Mashiach from her. They want Mashiach because then the rabbi's speech ends. Yeah, exactly. So it says, God says, Ani Hashem Be'ita Achishenna. One person says Ga'ita, one person says Aishenna. One person says God will bring the Messiah in its prime. And one person says he'll bring it early. So he brings a question. Make up your mind. You can bring it on time or early. You don't say it's an on time early arrival. it's either on time or it's early. So he answered and he said, Zachu Achishenna. If they have the zechut, it'll be early. Lo zechu, ba'ita. If they don't have the zechut, it'll be in its time. Although the pasuk doesn't sound like that. The pasuk sounds like ba'ita achishenna. On time, early. And he comes along to know. On time is if you don't deserve it. Early, he splits the pasuk. You understand? It says that all the galuyot that we endured, the mother of the exiles is Egypt. That's the chromosome of all the galuyot. Ve'ele shemot b'nei Yisrael ha-ba'im mitzrayma. Ba'im is ha-shetevot. Bavel, Edom, Yavan, Madai. When we went down to Egypt, ha-ba'im. These are the four galuyot. And just like in the future, there's going to be two different exile or redemption dates. There's the early birth special date, and then there's the regular date. So too in Egypt, there were two dates of potential redemption. Because since the mother of exile is Egypt, so whatever we find in the child must be in the mother. So we find in the child, meaning in the redemption of this exile, two dates. There's an early date and there's a regular date. So in Egypt also there were two dates slated for the redemption. Like you see, God said originally, Va'abadum v'innu otam arba me'ot shana. It was supposed to be 400 years. But we didn't say 400 years. We ended up getting the early birth special. Only we went after Sinedu, after 210 years. How does that work? Because the work was so difficult, the labor was so difficult, that we were able to get out of it. We were able to pay the debt a little early. It's not like a Kadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. So you have to say, but he said, well, it'll be 400 years of work. So we were able to do 400 years of work in 210 years' time, so that was good. So they did it. He brought the Yisurin, on heavy. He brought 400 years of Yisurin in 210 years' time. We took more, a double, triple dosage we took. Understand? Correct. But about the Holocaust. Holocaust is that type of suffering is supposed to be over 10,000 years. Even that's a long time. You know, you see, in a matter of 7 or 6 years, how many Yisurin came on Klal Yisrael. So if God wants to bring the Yisurin on, and make a double heaping spoonful. And that's what happened in Mitzrayim. Which means when the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem, Ve'ita Achishenna. Which is true. It's going to be on time. It's going to be like it was on time. The on time will be early. We don't think the early comes for free. The early has to come with the same payment of an on time. An on time, of course, your 400 years of work. So God says, I will redeem you. Be'ita, and it's time. Which means the 210 years is like its time. You understand or you don't understand what I'm saying?
Could it also be paid by
this vote? No, that's what, this, needed Yisurin, let's say. But the point is, don't think that you got out early when they cut half the bill off. No. You paid the full bill early. That's exactly, it's the same bill at the end of the day. Exactly. So he says, even though you came out early, it's like you came out on time. Exactly. At the end of the day, $100 you paid. So what's the difference? You paid it in three payments, or you paid it in one payment. You had $100. You understand or no? Where's the meal today? Meal didn't come today? Does it come on Tuesday? Huh? He was here? Oh, he left? Okay. So, it's a big ma'alok always when the tzaddikim, between the tzaddikim, some of the rabbis, when they see the Jewish people suffering, They don't want to pray for the end because they think it's paying the bill. Just let's get it over with. And others say, no, you know, let's live comfortably and we'll pay it over time. There's two ways of looking at it. Understand? Especially if you're going to rush the system, so then a lot of Baalei Teshuva that could have joined the fold, you know, they might be locked out. So one time he says over here that the Tzaddikim got together and they were arguing. You know, is the Yisudin good for Bnei Yisrael, or should we get it, you know, slower? So he tells his friend, one of the Tzaddikim, why would you want to delay the coming of Mashiach? Isn't it better just to get it over with? Once Mashiach comes, the world would be great. So the other Tzaddik tells them, there's a lot of Jewish people that didn't yet reach their perfection. And if they don't fix themselves when they still have a chance, they're going to be eternally lost. Why shouldn't I be worried about them? So the other Tzaddik answered them, better they get lost, the main thing is Mashiach should come. When the other rabbi heard that, he said, maybe you're from the guys that also didn't make the tikkun yet.
That's a good answer.
He said, you sound like you're one of those guys that hasn't reached the tikkun yet. He's answering your back. Like a lawyer. He tells him, yeah, you're so sure that you're good, right? The way you're talking, you sound like you're one of those guys.
You made the guy.
You made the guy. It says by Shaul HaMelech, remember by Shaul? So God tells him, go kill Amalek. And he came back with the animals, and he came back with Agag. And you remember Shaul HaMelech, what was his calculation? Why he brought the animals back? He said, if there's one dead body, we have to bring Igla Arufa. So all these dead bodies over here, shouldn't we have to bring Korbanot to Mechaper? Remember, he made a hashbon like that. I don't even know what it's talking about, because over there was talking about a Jew died. You need a kapara for all these dead Amalek people? What was Shaul's logic? You know, if there's one person that dies, you have to bring a kapara, all these dead people. So we need to bring a kapara. Who are these dead people? It's Amalek. The dead Nazis. So he says, Shaul HaMelech knew that once you erase Amalek totally, then the world is going to reach the tikkun. And then what's going to happen? Whoever's outstanding is out. So that's what he was saying. If God has mercy on one nefesh, all these nefeshot, not the nefeshot of that Amalek, all these nefeshot of these Jewish people that didn't. So that's why Shaul was delaying over here. His delay was Lashem Shamayim. He was delaying in order to delay the final situation so the Nefashot are able to go in. Understand or no? So it's like Avel Al Shema. So that's what they were saying. Yeti, when they were saying, let the Mashiach come, Velo Achimena. So they saw a lot of Neshamot that weren't fixed yet. And they knew that for Mashiach to come now, it's going to have to pay the bill. It's going to have to be a lot of Yisudim. And they had mercy on these Nefashot. So they said, let him come in his time. Not because they were delaying Mashiach. They had mercy on these of the Jewish people. That's what they were worried about. What was Rabbi Yosef? Rabbi Yosef said, I'll sit under the dung of the Mashiach's donkey. You understand or no? He was a very humble man. He was known to be very humble. So he was willing to be kapara for Bnei Yisrael. He just said, let him come. Even though it's going to be a tough time. And even if he himself will be pushed off, He was willing to be mechayev, even if he himself was not be worthy. It doesn't matter. He bring the Mashiach. One of the rabbis said on Hoshana Rabba, it's amazing. One of the great rabbis said, "Ani mekabel alay shelo yeli shum chalek ba'geulah shelema. I accept upon myself. I don't have to be part of it. I don't have to have any chalek of the geulah. But just do it for your kavod shamayim. I'm not interested. Not for me. I accept upon myself. You can lock me out, but just for the kavod shamayim." You think already I'm doing this, I want Olam Haba. So he said, you take that away also. Even if I'm not to have Gehinnah forever, just for the Kavod Shamayim. Wow. So Rabbi Yosef came along and said, Shigami miyin in chayla chutz, even if I have to sit under the donkey's excrement, even if I have to go to Gehinnah, he's willing to sacrifice himself just in order to the... That's powerful. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was saying, that we shouldn't pray for the Mashiach so much, because could be there's neshamot that need to come in. Right, right. That exactly. That's a big sacrifice.
No.
But it's not the pita. You have to anticipate it. It's not the pressure. So he explains it here. He says, "V'zeh inyan sheshbiach kavruchot Yisrael shelo yidchaku etakel. What is yidchaku? We don't push it. Don't shelo yirbu tachanunin. They shouldn't overpray for it. Danu shelo larbot mitfila. They shouldn't add to lemaher biat haMashiach." Which means that don't bring dohak on us. Dohak is suffering. We shouldn't pray to God that just, we want to pay the bill now. Bring it on. Let us. That we shouldn't pray for. So he says, Nachamim say, it's a famous derash. They say, Misha amar le'olam dai, yomar dai le'tzalotem. The God that says to the world, die, when he finished creating the world, he said, die. He should say, "Dai letzarotenu." He says, "Ubishaa shatzaroten begbul," when the tzarot have a limit. Zeh mishum shaddai, because God says, "Dai letzarotenu." Ulechen ish bi'am shlo yitpalel yoter midai. That's what it says. Shlo yitpalel yoter midai, which means yoter midai. God, who puts a limit on the tzarot, shouldn't pray that the tzarot should be yoter midai, more than the dai rule. The dai rule limits it. Should be more than dai. Right. So he says, that's what happened in Galut Mitzrayim. You're right. So he says, that they could have gotten out one of two ways. On time arrival, or they could have got out early with a compound payment. So Moshe Rabbeinu, he loved the Jewish people. He didn't want it to be suffering. Moshe Rabbeinu would have rather take a little longer. He couldn't see them suffering. Right? 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 He couldn't see the suffering of Am Yisrael. So he says, "Lamaha Ariota, why did you do bad?" He knows why he did bad. Why are you doing it this way, God? Why are you making it the more difficult way? Lama zeh shelachtani. Why did you send me on this mission? Me'az bati el paro, it says from the time that I came to Paro, hera la'am hazeh. He only did bed, ba'atzeh lo etzal de tamecha. He says, ata tere'e tashel eshe le Paro. As you're going to see, but you're not going to see what I do to the seven nations. So he gives a different answer on that. Also, but that's what you see, at least, what was going on over here. That the whole machloket over here was not that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't want the Jewish people to be redeemed over here. So the whole thing over here, Moshe Rabbeinu thought it would be a little, he heard 400. He thought 400 years, okay, it's not going to be so bad. So it got worse. So God said, really, it got worse, like I said, let's about earlier. That's part of the redemption itself. Okay, we'll stop over here. We'll continue this without the shim. Let's go to the... So the Tosafot over here says that the day they left Egypt was a Thursday. So he says, the imken, if they left on a Thursday, that means they must have slaughtered Korban Pesach on Wednesday, which is the day before. It means they left on the 15th, that year was a Thursday. The year that they left Egypt was a Thursday, and you always slaughter Korban Pesach the day before. So Erev Pesach was on Wednesday that year. That's when they slaughtered the Korban Pesach. V'nimsa b'Shabbat she'avra lakhu pesachim. Amen. She'az ayu ba'asur l'chodesh. So which day did God tell the Jews that they have to take the Korban Pesach and tie it to their bedpost? On the 10th of Nisan, which is today. Today is the 10th of Nisan. So today's day in history is a big day. It was on this day that God commanded the Jewish people to go take a sheep and go tie it to their bedpost. And they kept it Shabbat and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, 4 days on their bedpost. And Wednesday they slaughtered it. Wednesday night they ate it. And then they left. Thursday morning already, they were out. That was the schedule. Now, if they slaughtered it on Wednesday, which was the 14th of Nisan, so that means they took it on the 10th that year was a Shabbat. So they took the Korban Pesach on Shabbat. Understand? The fourth says that. He says, the Sha'asha Lakupisan Sha'atya Ba'asur Lachodesh. Ba'alken Korin Oto Shabbat Gadol. And that's why they call that Shabbat, which is the Shabbat before Pesach, they call it Shabbat Gadol. Lefisha Na'asabo Nes Gadol. What was the Nes Gadol? Kishilakupis Chayim Be'ota Shabbat Itkamsu Bechorot Umot Ha'olam Etzel Yisrael. The firstborn, interesting, I don't know why it's the firstborn, but the firstborn of the Egyptians came to the Jewish people, as he says, Nitkamsu bechorot umot ha'olam. I always thought the Egyptians came, but it's the firstborn came. Etzi yisem b'sha'alum, lama ya'osim kim, what are you taking this sheep for? Amru lahem, zevach pesach lahashem, this is a Zebach Pesach, going to mean a sacrifice. Sheyaharog b'chorei Mitzrayim. God's planning on killing all the firstborns. Interesting. So they told him a few things. They told him not only are we going to slaughter this animal, but all the firstborns are going to be dead tomorrow night. Halchu etzel avotehem ve'el paro. So the firstborns went to their fathers and they went to Paro. Lebakesh v'menu sheyishtechu et Yisrael. Send them, we don't want to die. Which means Moshe Rabbeinu is batting 1,000 so far. Dam, Sefardei, Akinim, he has a perfect record. There's no reason not to believe him that it's going to happen. Everything happened till now to the T. V'lo ratzu. The fathers, they don't want to send the Jewish people.
The 10th was
a
Shabbat?
10th was a Shabbat.
That's when they were commanded.
That's when they commanded, and that's when all the story happened. At the Wednesday. And the Thursday is when they left. But we're learning from when they left, we're going backwards. Because we want to focus in on that Shabbat day. What happened on that famous Shabbat called Shabbat Gadol? Now, it's interesting, we don't celebrate the 10th. Which is really, today we should make a holiday. We always celebrate the Shabbat before Pesach, even though it's not really the date. It's the day that it happened. not the date. Understand that?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. So, for whatever reason. Right, David has a good answer because something else happened on the 10th of Nisan. Today's an incredible day, by the way, in Jewish history. Today's the day that the Jewish people crossed into Israel with Yehoshua ben Nun and the Jordan River split for them. So it's an incredible day today, the 10th of Nisan. It's a day of miracles.
Same day.
So therefore, David is correct when he says they didn't want to make the 10th of Nisan a celebration because the people would not know what are we celebrating. Are we celebrating Kiryat Yarden? Or are we celebrating Mitzrayim? So therefore they decided to do it on the Shabbat before Pesach. So everybody knows it's about the Gadol Lion. Okay, fine. So he says, anyway, the Bechorot went to their fathers and said, Dad, we don't want to die. So there were riots in Tahrir Square, like you have Tahrir Square today. Riots broke out, but this was a civil war. Just like you saw in the news last year, 2 years ago, the Egyptians killing the Egyptians. You saw the army shooting at the people in Tahrir. The Brotherhood and all that. This is the same thing. Over here, the Egyptians went after their fathers and told them, listen, Dad, let them out. They didn't listen. They know that too. Tosfot says, Za'asu b'cholot milchama. They made a war. Ve'hadgu mehem harbeh. And they killed a lot. Tosfot doesn't say how many they killed, but they killed a lot. And then Tosfot says, and that's what it says in Tehillim, Lemakeh Mitzrayim b'dchorehem. It doesn't say Lemakeh b'chorehem Mitzrayim. It says Lemakeh Mitzrayim, that God punished Mitzrayim b'dchorehem, from their firstborns. Means the firstborns of Egypt attacked the Messiah. Perfect. That's what we call. Just bring me a. That's what we call anarchy, or we call that a civil war. Now we have over here. Yeah, they killed their fathers. Good for them. We're happy when that happens. When they ask us about the civil war in Egypt, in Syria, they said, what's my opinion? I said, I hope both sides win. Both sides win, it's good for us. Mediuke. So therefore you see over here an incredible history over here. That's the fourth interpretation, very nice explanation, beautiful explanation. But it doesn't explain why the firstborns. Everybody should have went to the Jews and asked, hey, what do you think of the sheep? Why were only the firstborns curious? Understand my question? Which means every Egyptian should have been curious. Hey, what are you doing taking the sheep, putting it to your bed? But the sport says, the firstborn specifically, they're the ones that went to. Understand the question? Yeah. Why are they more concerned more than anybody else in this episode, yeah? She'ela, right? She'ela Tova. So we go to the back of the book, to the smaller letters. The bigger the Hadush, the smaller the letters. That's the rule. So there's a rabbi over here called Maharsha. And he has a piece over here. He adds a little insight. Ve'oto yom hamishi b'shabbat haya ayem b'tosfot. Okay, go look at Tosfot. We did it already. He says, go look at the Tur. Or Hayim, Shayu Shinehem Kahot. The Egyptians' teeth were. Yeah, maybe like they had a. They were shaking or chattering or. Al Shishuhatim Elohehem. Why were they so. What do you care what we do with the sheep? What's the difference? What are they? What are they? Animal rights activists? Well, the PETA, what was some? And if I see a guy walking with a dog down the street, hey, what do you walk with that dog? Walk with a dog? What do you care? Mechpat lecha. Because Baal Shem says that was their God.
Right.
Somebody used to worship the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, V'charat dikduk b'ma'amar kifi ma shekatpo tofo kishilakum pesachem netkapsu b'chorot. ומפני מה נתכבסו הבכורות יותר משאר העם? מה יש לך question? Why did the בכורות come more than anyone else? Well, and it makes the question stronger. Because you're going to say, ah, they came because they were scared of their life. בדיוק. They didn't know yet. They didn't know yet this would be מכת בכורות.
You can take the last one.
Right? They can kill everybody.
Yeah.
But they didn't know that they were on the death list. Only after they asked, what are you doing? Then they said, by the way, you're getting killed also. They only found out after. And Ma'asheh says it. He said, lahem she'arot b'chorei Mitzrayim. He's about a kabana. An amazing Ma'asheh. This is a secret Ma'asheh that you don't read it, you miss the whole story. Ki mazal tele. The mazal now of today. He's going to ask a simple question. Were they stupid the Egyptians? Were they stupid the Egyptians?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah, you're right. Baruch Adonai, Olam Amen,
Amen.
He says they're stupid, you say they were geniuses. Now what are we going to do? We have Mahlukat Ahronim over here. So explanation is, who in their right mind is going to bow down to a sheep? What kind of Abu Dazara is this over here? You want to tell me a sun, a moon? We also don't understand this, but at least it's a big thing. The sun is there, comes out. It's a power. Sheep smells. By the way, you can't even be in the same 4 amot as a sheep. And then what do you think? The sheep doesn't go to the bathroom. Filthy. You ever see the wool of a sheep? Until they comb it. The explanation he says is because the sheep represented the head of the mazalot. The Egyptians were big into astrology, into horoscopes. And they believed that everything is run by the stars, by the position of the stars. That's why any time Paro asked the question, who is he called? Hartumim. Who's Hartumim? The astrologers. Always, anytime he has an issue, his Torah is, what does the stars say? Understand or no? That's why, by the way, when he had his dream with the 7 cows, the 7 fat cows, and the 7 skinny cows, the 7 skinny cows ate the 7 fat cows. Now they said they found the bones of the cows and the relics in Egypt. They said they found the bones of these cows already. Unbelievable. You heard about it, Gary? You didn't hear about it. First time, how could you hear it's a dream, but they didn't find nothing? What did they find? He had a dream. He's telling me here they found the cow. Anyway, the explanation, how did they find the cow? How long? So now, anyway, what happens is, it says, so they went to the Hartumim. They went to the Hartumim, and they're telling him all sorts of crazy stuff. You're going to have 7 sons, and you're going to bury 7 sons. There's going to be 7 years of war, 7 years of peace. They were giving him all cockamamie interpretations, and Paro doesn't like them. Yosef comes, and he tells them, listen, there's going to be 7 years of plenty, that's the 7 fat cows, and there's going to be 7 years of famine, that's the skinny cows, and the fact that the fat cows ate the skinny cow, or the skinny cows ate the fat cows, and they're still skinny, that's going to show you that there's not going to be any memory of the years of plenty, that the famine is going to be so great, that there's not going to be a memory. Now, by the way, in all due respect to Yosef HaTzadik, the Hartumim could have figured this out. You see a fat cow, that's plenty. A skinny cow is... I mean, it's not like he said something up in Kabbalah, Sefirot and Zodot. Already they figured out seven, it's something 7 and 7. That they got. 7 years this, 7 years that they got. They just couldn't figure out why. Because Rabotai, how many years of famine, how many years of plenty was there in Egypt?
Seven.
How many years of famine was there?
Three.
2 years.
2 years.
What happened? Because when Yaakov came down to Egypt, the famine stopped.
All over the world?
In Egypt, the famine stopped. That's where the famine was. The famine stopped. The great famine stopped when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim.
The famine was all over the world.
But in Egypt, they had a famine.
Uh-huh.
Remember, Yosef was buying up all the land. The people were coming to collect money. They indentured themselves. Yaakov came down. It stopped on the dime. You know why the stargazers didn't see it? Because they're looking in the stars. You know what they see? 7 and 2. They didn't see 7 and 7. So they said, this cannot be a 7 and 7 famine item, because in the stars it says 7 and 2. The Chiddush of Yosef told Paro, it's really supposed to be 7 and 7, but something's going to happen after it turns to 7 and 2. You just see the bottom line. You don't see what's above the stars. What's above the stars is supposed to be a 7 and 7. So Paro was waiting. What's going to happen in the second year that's going to stop the famine? So when Yaakov came down, your sister, that's the item. And that's what did Paro do to Yaakov? Red carpet. That's why he didn't want to let him leave. When he died, Yaakov was worried that Paro's not going to let him leave. Because he brought Berakah to the country. How can I let this guy leave? The whole economy is on Yaakov. Yaakov is nervous from that. He told Yosef, "I'll not take any of Mitzrayim. These guys are going to keep me here. They're going to make me into a good luck charm. They're going to turn me into a rabbit's foot." You understand? So therefore, these guys were stargazers. All they care about is the stars. You have to know that. It's a big one I'm telling you now. So now what happens? The head of all the mazal is the sheep. It's the first of the horoscope, the first of the zodiac sign. Very good. Aries. Anybody born now, this month? Aries. What's Aries? Aries is a sheep. Aries is... Now, what do you mean a sheep? What do you got to do with a sheep? That means, if you look at the shape of the stars, this time of year, not all the stars, I get a certain area in the sky, it looks like a shape. It looks like a sheep. The configuration, you say, oh, that's a sheep. And the Egyptians believed everything is in the stars, and they believed that the God who controls all of the zodiacs, Aries, Taurus,
Leo,
Lion, exactly. Sagittarius, Scorpio, all that. The head is the first one. And what's the first one? The sheep. So therefore, they worship the sheep, not the sheep. The sheep was the symbol of the zodiac. Which means, so therefore, they gave kavod to the sheep for the symbol of it. You understand what I'm telling you now?
Yeah.
So therefore, if you ask an Egyptian, what's their luckiest month? They'll tell you, Nisan. Because that's our God. And you ask the Egyptian, what's the luckiest day for an Egyptian? Well, when is the mazal of any month the strongest? The 15th. That's when it's full. So the Egyptian will tell you, the luckiest day for an Egyptian is the 15th. What does God say? On that day, that's the day you're going to get killed. To show you. He waited for that day, which is why 15 Nisan. That's by design. To show the Egyptians, where's your God? Yeah, today's the 15th of Nisan. Where's Aries? Where's Taurus? Where's anybody? Where's Gemini? Nobody. Understand what I'm telling you? Oh, so it says the Maharsha now had the secret.
So they put the two together, that the Aries is the first and the other. If they kill one, they kill the second.
That's it, Benno. Better, you have a job already. It's my business. I don't get involved in selling whatever you sell. Well, I don't get involved. He comes to my business now and starts telling me what to do. Unbelievable. So look what the Maharsha says. Maharsha says, incredible Hindu. He writes like this.
That's how he got it.
That's why they pay him all this money. What do you mean? Aval hakavana ki mazal teleh hu rosh u bechor lekol ha-mazalot. The bechor of the mazal is what? The teleh. והוא עצמו מזלם של מצרים ומהבכורות, ועל כן נתקבשו הבכורות תפה כשלקחו פסחיהן שהיו תלה שום מזלם ולוהן של הבכורות והיו שניהם כהות. So the Maharaj says, because the בכורות, he doesn't write it, but it's brought down that who were the priests in Egypt? The Bechorot. They were the priests. Why would they choose the Bechorot to be the priests? It's a funny thing. What's a Bechorot? More than a second born or a third born? Because since their whole God is the Bechor, which is the Bechor of the Mazal, so they chose a Bechor to be their representative in the church of Mitzrayim. Again, everything in Egypt is symbol. The real God is the Teleh. So they make a symbol in the sheep, and they make a symbol by making the firstborn the priest, because he's also firstborn. Everything's firstborn with these guys. Now you start to understand why God went after the firstborn. Because everything in Egypt has got to do with the first. Now, so all of a sudden, this was over here.
And here, by giving the firstborn, he's two.
The Duke.
He's the priest.
And the God. Exactly. That's why it says, Ubchol Elohim Mitzrayim, Es Heshepatim Ani Adonai. It was attacked against their God. Because the firstborn dying with the priests were dying. Imagine all of a sudden, in one night, Borei Olam knocks out all the priests of a different religion. I don't want to talk about that, but you understand what I'm saying? All different, all the imam, all the priests, oh, boom, one night, boom, gone. That's what happened there. Now, what happens when they come to... So that's what we understand why they came and said, hey, what are you doing with the chief?
And kill their symbol, understand
that. The priest is coming, imagine, they have deals. You're taking a cross, and everybody's Jews taking a cross, and they're putting it on their bedpost. Who's going to come? The priest is going to come and say, hey, what are you doing? The regular Egyptian guy, he's not so religious. He's a conservative guy. I don't care to him. You know, Mahalil. He's following the priest. Who's the spokesman? The spokesman is the Bechor. He comes with his galah, with his, you know, with his robe and his thing, with a big picture of the sheep on his head over here, like the curse, and puts the sheep over here. And, hey, what are you doing with that sheep? What are you doing with our God? Oh, so the Jewish people say, hey, we're taking that God over there, and we're gonna knock it down, we're gonna destroy it over here. And not only are we gonna destroy the firstborn God, but guess what? We're taking the priest out with us. Miracle of miracles happened at that moment, Rabotai. The Bechorot, they made somewhat of a teshuvah. Because they went to their fathers and said, hey, This is going to happen. We don't want to die. So could you imagine the priests are going to their fathers, and they're telling their fathers, "Hey, we don't want to die from this business over here. You gotta save us." And all of a sudden, to show you what type of priests these guys were, when their fathers didn't respond properly, they killed them. The Midrash writes an amazing fact, just in the name of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Midrash says that how many fathers were killed on that day? So he says, 600,000 Bechorot killed 600,000 fathers. You hear this? Midrash says. This was not Stam, a couple of guys in a scuffle in Tahrir. Three guys got shot and two guys went to jail. This over here was a massive amount over here. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says that the reason why 600,000 Bechorot there was in Egypt, because when God came to Paro, if you remember, God came to Paro from Moshe, right in the beginning. Where's the Chumash? Bring the Chumash. חמש. And you heard everything, so it's amazing.
David.
Kohanim. That's what I'm Kohanim, the Bechorim. Now what? So it says in the Pesukim over here that when Moshe Rabbeinu sees God at the burning bush, so what does he tell him? He tells him, go tell Paro that we're going to leave Egypt over here. And you better go give him a warning. So he tells him like this, okay, take off your shoes, go to Paro. Shamati, I heard the cries of Am Yisrael. They're going to ask me, what's the name? Tell them, Ekiah sent me. Okay. He says, Paro's not going to let you go. He's a stubborn guy. But don't worry, at the end you're going to go. And he tells him, take the stick and throw the stick and all that over there. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not a man of words. Don't worry, I'll be with you. Aaron is going to be your spokesman. Ko amar Adonai, go tell Paro, Beni Bechori Yisrael. God says, I consider the Jewish people my firstborn. You understand? All of us. Even though you're not a firstborn. Which means the 70 nations, God had all the nations. God says, my firstborn is the Jewish people. Va'omar Elecha, I'm telling you the name of God. Shalach et Beni. Send my son, meaning my firstborn son, the Avin, but Tima'en l'shalecho, he's not going to send. Hineh anuchi horeg et b'necha b'chorecha. God says from the beginning, I'm going to kill your firstborn son. So the Midrash says that since there were 600,000 men, and those men are called God's Bechor, so therefore God had to keep his word. God says, if you don't send my Bechor, I'm going to kill your Bechor. You understand so far? So there would have to be Midah Keneged Midah. You following or no?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why Rabbi Shimon says it has to be 600,000, because God gives his word. And sure enough, they didn't send us, and God came and he fulfilled his word. Boom, he killed the first Bechor. The firstborn of Egypt. You remember last week, you remember, which we set it up already last week, when we learned an incredible piece from the Rebbe Yitzchak Berdichev. We read it inside. Remember the piece we learned last week? That piece was talking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything in the world is for the glory of God. And from everybody, even from the Rasha, there's a revelation of Hashem. There's no place in the world that is void from God. Even where the Rishaim are, the glory of God goes through the Rishaim as well. You remember we said from the Baal Shem Tov last week, it says in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot, there's four types of givers of tzedakah. There's four ways in the givers of tzedakah. What are the four ways? There's one guy that gives and causes others to give. There's one guy that gives, but he doesn't cause others to give. There's one guy that doesn't give, but causes others to give. And there's one guy, he doesn't give, and he doesn't cause others. And he causes others not to give. Understand? So the Baal Shem Tov asks, it says, Arba'ad derachim bin notnei tzedakah. The fourth guy is not a notnei tzedakah. There's only three givers in this story. Otpam, either the giver and the one that causes to give, he gives. Either the one that just causes others to give, he's a giver also somehow. Or the one that he himself gives, but he doesn't cause. Three out of the four give. The fourth guy is not a giver. So why would the Mishnah say, Arba'ad derachim bin notnei tzedakah? So what did he say to Baal Shem? He said that even from the Rasha, who doesn't give and causes others not to give, you know what he does? He gives me Musa not to be like him. I get motivated to give when I see that guy. When I see this Kamsan Nasha, that anytime you ask him for money, no. And not only that, he goes to the other guy, don't give. You know something? On purpose, I'm going to give now. Well, this guy's to show. Sometimes from the Rishrut of the Rasha, it motivates the... You understand what we said last time?
Yes, sir.
Says the Levi Yatami Berdicha, that even when God punishes the Rasha'im, really they have a Zichut the Rasha'im. That the name of God is being sanctified through the Rasha'im. Because what happens to good people like us when we see the Rasha'im get punished? We get scared, we make teshuvah. So from the Rasha'im came something, you understand? Something positive came out. They don't get the message, but the Vivian like says, they should be thrilled at that moment when they're getting Yisurim, that God used them as the vehicle to wake up the world. He says, and the Tzaddikim crave this. They crave that God will use them as the example to bring... That's exactly the example he uses. The Rabbi Akiva says, all my life I'm waiting for this moment that God should pick me to be the symbol of affliction, and I could say, Shema Yisrael, Rami Rami Yahad. That I became God's agent to wake up the world. It's an amazing Rabbi Yisrael message. Who wants to be this? I don't want to be this. You don't want to be this. But the Tzaddikim, they want to be the vehicle that even though they suffer, they look at it like it's a zikhut. That God chooses them to wake up the whole world. Why did God choose him to choose us? You understand what he says? And the Tzaddikim, to them there's nothing sweeter, he says.
Their belief is stronger than the pain.
Bidiyuk. To them, the fact that the world is getting elevated, it's all worth it. It's all worth it for them. Even when they go in, however, they get punished, they don't look at it as zikut. So he writes an amazing hadush. In the same piece that we read. It's amazing. Who killed the firstborn? God himself. Ani velo malach. Ani velo saraf. Ani velo shaliach. Ani hu velo ached. God himself killed the firstborn. What is that man? I got to go so at length. Who cares who killed him? They died. Somebody did it. Either God did it or an angel did it. It's the difference of God or angel did it. We know it came from Shamayim. That's for sure. This wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't something in the Jezra that night that killed them all. They died because Hashem... By the way, by Bakat Dam. It doesn't say, they Dam, and even though Malach. No. The first 9 plagues, it says, was done by an angel. But Bakat Bechorot, God. Says the great rabbi, that any time God delivers a punishment, it's almost a zechut for the person that God himself went and dealt with the guy. Normally when you're fed up with somebody, you send your secretary, hey, go do it. I'm like, I should go myself? Send your secretary, go first. The fact that God himself went, and God is the measure of mercy. Correct? Isn't God mercy?
Yeah.
So the Levi Yitzchak can't understand why would God himself go down to kill the firstborns? It's almost as if it's a credit of some sort. You understand what I'm saying over here from the rabbi?
Yes, I died, but not in the hand of
anyone. In you, God says that I killed him. It's an honor almost. And he says it's almost a measure of mercy to die that way. I don't know if it's less painful that he doesn't say that. But he clearly says he says from God the bad doesn't come. The bad God dispatches an angel. Of course he's there, he dispatched it. But God doesn't direct, but the good, it says I take all the good projects. It's a good project, he killed the 100,000 Dekorot. So you know what he answers? He says, incredible. He says the answer is because the firstborn, as bad as they were, they had a zechut. What was the zechut? That through them, they nullified the Avodah Zarah, that when the priest went and killed his father, what were they basically saying? This Avodah Zarah is shtriyot. The Avodah Zarah is avel avalim. You know, you can imagine if you saw, you know, the priests of the church, and they go start killing everybody and say, hey, what are we doing? We're wasting our time over here. Could you imagine the effect it would have on all the other people in the world? Even the priests themselves are saying it's shtriyot and habadim. So therefore, when they killed the 600,000 fathers, a great Kiddush Hashem came through them. Doesn't say they made, you know, full teshuvah, where they weren't yet worthy to die. And God said, I'm going to kill the Bechorot. But since something good came out of them, the Kiddush Hashem, so therefore, almost their reward was that when it came for the time for them to come down and go before it and death, Borei Olam says, your reward is going to be through the good that came via you, I'm going to handle this. It's a reward of the firstborn. It's a reward for this. That shows you two things. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he rewards everybody. He doesn't hold back even the reward of a Rasha. Even the something that Rasha did good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to pay him back. I'm going to give him So, based on this Hadush, the rabbi that was here the other night, Rabbi Friedman, he says a Hadush on it. Is why they call that Shabbat, Shabbat HaGadol. It's not a longer Shabbat than any other Shabbat. Might feel longer because the rabbi gives a longer speech, but it's not a longer Shabbat. It ends at the same time. He says they should call it Shabbat HaNes. Shabbat of the Bechorot. The Bechorot killed their, call it whatever you want, Shabbat Herut, Shabbat Korban Pesach, I don't call it. What do you mean Shabbat HaGadol? So he says, according to the holy book, whenever you see the word Gadol, Gadol is which one of God's midot? Gadol is always chesed. Lecha Adonai Gedula VeGibura VeTeferet VeNesa VeAhod Kichol Gedula Gibura Teferet. Gedula is always Chesed. He says a big Hadush. He says because of the events that took place on that Shabbat, that the Egyptian firstborns went and killed their fathers, and a great Kiddush Hashem ensued in Klal Yisrael. That they saw that even the priests themselves are nullifying the Avodah Zarah of the sheep, and they're willing to kill their own fathers in order to... So Borei Olam says, listen, I already said I'm killing all the firstborn. But I didn't say yet how it's going to be done. He says, now on that Shabbat, once they made that Kiddush Hashem, Borei Olam says that the death of the Bechorot is going to come through me. And God is what? God is Chesed. And therefore Shabbat HaGadol, that because of the events that took place on that Shabbat, the Bakat Bechorot was done al yedeh the Hasadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means it switched. Normally the Bechorot should have died in a miserable way. What do you learn from here, says the rabbi from Berditcha? That if the Rasha would only know that when he gets rebuked, and you know what should have happened by those Bechorot? After they saw everything, they should have converted. They should have went to the Jewish people. They should have said, you know something? They didn't. They went almost. But they didn't go all the way. He says, the Rishayim should only know when God's afflicting them. They should wake up and say, God used me to make Kiddush Hashem, Hatati Aviti, but they don't. On the contrary, after they get the affliction, what do they say? Where's God? Who's God? What do they do this to me? They complain. So he explains the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Halelu et Adonai kol goyim, Shabbihu kol ha'umim, ki gavar alenu chasdo. That all the goyim praise God, because God is good to the Jews. Let them praise God, because God is good to the Jews. Why should they praise God if God is good to us? You know how he explains it? He says, how is God good to us? He brings out the goyim to their knees, and he punishes them, and God is good to us. At that point, the goyim should say, God used us. Look how much Kiddush Hashem comes out of the Egyptians. Every single Jew sits on their Pesach and talks about God. Because of who? Because of the Egyptians. At the end of the day, if there's no Egyptians, we don't have a story. Now, they should come along after they were getting clobbered in the Makot. You know what they should have said? The world is seeing God through us. They should have said God using us as the broadcast. The broadcast themselves. We're the conduit. They should have said, you know what? Hallelujah to the right called Goyim. The Goyim should have praised God. But they don't. What does Paro say when he's getting plagued? Mi Hashem, Uz Hashem, Megam, Lo Yadati et Hashem. They don't get the message. But the tzaddikim, when they get affliction, on the contrary, they crave it. Because they know through their reaction and through their behavior, and that's what Rabbi Akiva says. What do you mean? All my life I'm waiting for this moment over here. We don't talk like Rabbi Akiva. All we like, we don't want to have no Yisudi. We just want to be able to learn Torah and make Kiddush Hashem in other ways. But the tzaddikim themselves, this guy over here that got Yisudi, this guy lost 7 kids. The fact that God chose him out of millions of Jews in the world, that he should be the representative, the Kiddush Hashem of God, the 7 continents, should go through him. The Hadush of the stories, he understands it so far. He understands it. That's the Hadush. If God doesn't bring a test to somebody that cannot tolerate it, and all of a sudden the guy gets up and says, this is what the Borei Olam wants. He starts talking about the moon and so on, whatever he's talking about. But he's talking tachlit, he's talking purpose. And what are the goyim scratching their heads? Wow, Simuna, where does this come from, Simuna? This guy has the suffering of Job. And there's Emunah v'Yom, Hashem Natan v'Hashem Nakach, Yishem Hashem Mevorach. These are the type of great characters that Levi Yitzhak Radishev is talking about. Now, he didn't crave it, he didn't ask for it, he doesn't want it, but listen, the Ma'aseh, we don't, again, you can't say this to a regular guy, that there's some zichut in this for the guy. What's zichut? The guy lost his whole, the guy doesn't have a pair of socks, his name. And you're going to tell me now it's a zichut? You're right, we don't talk like that because it sounds cruel. But we cannot deny the fact that for sure God is using this man as an agent to sanctify the name of Hashem. Nothing to talk about, yes or no? So that's the Jew's reaction. And what would be the Goy's reaction? Goy's reaction, he kicked God. What's going on? There's no God. Randomness. Where was Hashem during the Holocaust? So therefore, since the Egyptians, God used them, instead of them saying, Hallelujah Adonai kol goyim, they killed their fathers. They were more worried about their death. You know what the Egyptians should have done? Instead of killing their fathers, they should have killed all the sheep. Then it would have been a big thing. Then they would have went in public and took their sheep and said, Abotai, Shtuyot, Bidiyuk. And what were they worried? They were worried about their lives. So a little Kiddush Hashem came out because basically they're saying, hey, Moshe, he's right. The guy's right. The guy's right. That's a Kiddush Hashem already. Because even the Goyim believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So it gave the Jewish people when the Goy gets on and the Pope gets up and says, listen, whatever the rabbi is saying, it's emet. Okay, well, wow. All of a sudden the Jews get up and say, the Pope said it's emet. Forget it. What are we going to say? But the problem is, the Pope said whatever the rabbi saying is emet, but he was still wearing his cross. He still was wearing his cross. He didn't put on an Magen David. He didn't put on a high. You understand? He didn't put on a red string. So therefore, they made a little kiddush, but they didn't go all the way. But God says, no problem. Even for that kiddush Hashem that you did, by killing your fathers and showing that you believe in Moshe Rabbeinu and all that, and you're coming along and you didn't touch the Jewish people because you understood that there's power there. Borei Olam says, Tremad Achim. Let me handle this myself over here. They have a little credit over there. I don't want to, they're going to ask me, hey, where's the payment? Your death was your payment. I visited you that night and I passed over the Jewish house and I came to visit you in your house. And the visit by God is not about pursuit. You understand? And that's why the rabbi says, Yishkol Shabbat HaGadol. Because from that Shabbat, the Midah of Gedulah manifested itself because of their reaction. Amen. Amen.